This is CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. We were locked and trapped outside of our own studio this morning.
You know, the beauty of behind the scenes. What a mess.
Jesus, this morning is chaos here.
We came really close to actually breaking glass.
Yeah, I was very seriously considering smashing the door, really.
What a mess.
What? How did you eventually get it open? Everybody tried.
So we have a combination locked door, and that's the main door into our studio area.
Right.
And it's secured by a PIN code. And we've had this issue a couple of times, but we've called people in, and they fixed it in a jiffy. This morning, the door acted up again. And this is when you realize just how simple you are as a human being. Because we have a simple code, and you punch that in, and the door just does not unlock. Shucks.
Yeah, between that and the headphone jacks, this place.
and then you eventually, you like, revert back to being an animal. And you're like, well, I'm just
going to
smash
it. Oh, my goodness.
I'm just going to smash it
the
down.
The glint in your eyes. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm gonna smash some glass. I'm like, well, that's not the...
I'm gonna break this door down.
Yeah, I know I can't afford that door. So I was like forceful to a point, and I thought, okay, maybe it's just not broke. It's not down.
Nah, I would have broken it. Promise you.
Oh, how do you break extra minute? Glass?
Well, you just kick the door really hard. You've not seen any movie ever.
Well, no, I just feel like you'd hurt yourself.
Nah.
So, what comes first, your ankle or the listeners? You've really got to start prioritizing.
Oh,
exactly. Very good. And then we're not sure where my buddy is this morning.
Oh, what a mess!
Managed to get hold of her. Oh yeah, yeah. It's a crazy situation.
It's May the 4th.
Yes, today's May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, right?
Mm.
That's right.
Is the 4th with us today?
It's some other day as well. Remember someone let us know that it was some special day that you need to pay attention to, Ben. Do you remember? There's a message we got. Someone wrote in a message about how today is significant and you should, I don't know, something. It's just in the back of my mind. But there we go, May the 4th. There is a new Star Wars movie coming out. There's
Solo.
Solo, yeah. Which is like one of the spin-offs. It's kind of like Rogue One, which I loved. And if they do it that way, I'm going to probably love this one as well. It's the story of Han Solo. It's the guy Harrison Ford plays. And it's obviously when he was younger. But that whole Star Wars universe, you could make a million films. It wouldn't be enough.
Well, it's a basic universe of concepts.
Yeah, that's right. And you can have new characters. You can have new animals, new planets. New scenarios. It's just, oh man,
I think all fans will be okay with all of that as long as Jar Jar Binks doesn't come back. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the only rule for Star Wars.
No, don't bring back that douchebag.
So you know there's always days like it's National Something Day.
Yeah,
there's the National Calendar Day.
Oh, there's a thousand things. That's why
today's National Space Day, National Star Wars Day, National School Lunch Hero Day, Bird Day, Renewal Day, Orange Juice Day, Candid Orange Peel Day.
Wait, today's...
And Weather
Orange
Observers
Juice Day.
Day.
Orange Juice Day.
Yeah, and Weather Observers Day.
Yeah, I was also researching because I'm trying to find out what you were referencing, Gareth. Well, I found out that on May the 4th, 1959, the first ever Grammy Awards were held.
Mm-hmm.
In 1979, Margaret Thatcher became the first woman to be elected Prime Minister of the UK.
Don't forget Orange Juice Day.
Should I taste your juice?
Yeah. Well,
so we still haven't realized what this day was. Okay.
That could be a thousand things. Do you know that there's an ice cream shop in Canada called Sweet Jesus?
Hmm.
And they were petitioned by like thousands of Christians who said they had changed their name because it was offensive and blasphemous.
Hmm.
And they said, screw you. They said, we're not going to change our name. That is what most customers say when they've had one of our ice creams. They go, Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, sweetjesusforlife.com.
Yeah. Have you found it?
Hmm?
Right.
The website is...
Sweet Jesus. And Jesus is spelled J-E Lightning Strike U-S.
There we go.
Jesus, these ice creams. Look at these things.
Aren't they great?
Wow. You know what? They're allowed to have a name. What they are creating here, they can go straight ahead.
I would call that Sweet Diabetes more than Sweet Jesus.
Same thing, really.
Jesus and Diabetes?
I was
too much excess.
I was packing last night. I'm off to London tonight, and
that's exciting.
There's so much going on. We've got to pop in at Discovery this morning, that new, brand new building of theirs, which is magnificent. You've seen it as well, right?
Yeah, I've been inside. I've been on the roof as well. It is so special.
Well, it's not even a building because they have their own address, which means they have their own street.
Right, they've got a street. There's Discovery Place.
So it's a whole block. I mean, it is a whole block.
Yeah, when you can like leave your desk and go down for like... for a spa treatment, or you go pick up groceries. Like they've got shops.
They've got shops inside. They've got a gym. They've got a five-a-side football field on the roof.
There's a basketball court on the roof as well.
Jeez, I know. Sweet Jesus,
Sweet Jesus.
I just renamed Discovery to Sweet Jesus.
I know employees there who don't even know and haven't been able to keep up with everything that's in that building.
No.
Like, there's a pharmacy, and of course there's another coffee shop, and there's just 40,000 things down there.
Too much.
And we have doors that don't...
We have a door that won't even open.
Yeah.
But we also have each other, folks. And that's something money can't buy.
We have each other.
Well, it can, because if Gareth didn't pay us, we probably wouldn't hang out. But money definitely buys us.
No, that's true.
To
Ben wouldn't wake up at 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning to come here and hang out with us if we didn't pay him.
Sentimental.
I'm not here for your smiles, yeah?
And here I was thinking these past 4 years, this is what kept us together. Okay.
All right, well, we got lots happening this morning. By the way, such a nice recovery on cryptocurrencies this morning.
Yeah, there's excitement around it again.
People are, you know, all it takes is a little bit of an upshot, that's all. Great.
Do you know what we didn't get to something yesterday?
What?
New Zealand Prime Minister being pregnant.
Tell me more.
And unmarried yet. Don't forget the
unmarried. Is she also unmarried? Oh.
You know what I've got is, let's listen to this clip. We can get super judgmental if we want to, or you can decide. No, because I've got a whole bunch of stuff for you today. I've got this preacher who's online. He's busy exorcising demons.
Oh.
It's fascinating to watch. Man, I love that stuff. Because, you know, I've always said if you want to cleanse a house of poltergeists,
yes,
just sell it to an atheist. Poltergeists, they all stop coming. It's the safest way to clear out your house. I'm telling you now, people don't even understand. It's the easiest thing in the world. All right, so here she is talking about being a prime minister and a pregnant mom.
This is normal. welcome, everyone, for a somewhat unusual announcement. Clark and I are really excited to share, as you already know, that in June we're looking forward to welcoming our first child. We still have to get used to saying that out loud.
First of all, I can't stand the New Zealand accent. It is the least sexy accent in the world. It sounds like it's almost an animal language. It really is revolting. It's revolting. I've never heard a New Zealand accent that I thought was nuanced or pretty or anything else. Australian can even be, I shudder to say it, but Australians can even say some things and sound, you know, characterful. And when an Australian man or woman, particularly when they get foul-mouthed, there's something beautiful and elegant about it, in that it's deft. It's the words, particularly foul language from an Australian, seems to be appropriate. It seems they've refined and distilled and crystallized a language in Australia which is as harsh as the climate. And am I wrong, Ben?
It's spot on, Gareth. Word for word.
They're coarse people, but that coarseness is represented beautifully in the language. Yeah. You know, there's something really, really identifiable and real and beautiful about it. This New Zealand accent is so fucking awful. If I had a woman in my life, if I knew a guy, if there was someone who spoke like this, and I don't have any New Zealanders as friends, I don't know any of them, so it's not like I'm biased here and I've been, you know, poisoned by one particular individual. This accent is so unsexy. It gives me the opposite of a hard-on. It really does. It's revolting.
I feel that way about the British accent, actually.
Well, which one? Because there are 1,000 British accents.
Cockney?
You may not a Cockney accent. No, you don't like that, do you?
Oh.
Okay, never. So that's one thing.
And as much as I love Beyonce, I cannot stand listening to her speak because she has this Texas accent.
Yeah.
Oh.
gosh, awesome. Yeah, so bloody judgmental.
No, just
don't like Beyonce speaking.
Well, it's, you know, so ironic. Love Beyonce, love Adele, can't stand to hear them speak.
Yeah, there we go. Sia has a standard.
That just got
even for a super fan like him.
Yeah, I was all writing the song when we were young.
So let me just explain the scenario, because I just started playing this without really giving you a context. So this woman is standing on the steps of a shitty little house. And really, in New Zealand, it's a shitty little house. There are no rich people, there are no poor people. Everyone in New Zealand is middle class. And everybody who thinks that that's something to aspire to, stop it. You know, I'm so tired of people telling me about equality day in and day out. Go and look at New Zealand and you'll see what equality gives you. It gives you boredom. It gives you everybody living in little houses that look exactly the same. It lets everybody does the same thing on weekends, the same thing during the week. They will have a little job. They will have one or two, maybe three children. They drive Volvos. It's just fucking boring. You know, God bless the rich and the poor because they give us color. Anyway. Let me not unload on New Zealand completely here. I already have.
Mm-hmm.
This woman comes out in jeans. This is the Prime Minister of a first world nation. I mean, you could say what you like about Donald Trump. The guy appears on TV. He's wearing a suit. He's got a tie around his neck. He's brushed that revolting hair of his, but he's tidy. This woman and her sleazy... And it's not a husband.
Not
it's
a husband, yeah.
This guy comes out in like a leather jacket with a t-shirt on and jeans. Don't get me wrong, I like informal, but not...
Well, let's step up. I saw an interview where he was in a pair of shorts and barefoot in the couch.
I mean, there we go. Look at these two. So she's out in this ill-fitting jersey. She's got jeans and sneakers on. Her hair isn't brushed. She's very toothy. He looks like he hasn't brushed his hair.
What do you mean by toothy?
The two of them look like they've rolled out of bed, basically. All right? And I don't mind... If you're an ordinary person and you live your life, and of course everyone in New Zealand's ordinary, but that's besides the point. You wake up and you have to go to work, and sometimes you're in a hurry, and you know, you don't always... This is at her house. She could have chosen any clothes to come out. Could have just tidied it up a little bit. She looks like a slob. I know people are going to pull me apart here and say, well, it's, you know, double standards, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist, you're a chauvinist, all those words.
Well, you also kind of went for the guy too, so.
Of course, but I mean, you know what people are like, and those words are so overused now that they have no power anymore at all. You want to talk about that kind of thing, then find the really bad people in society, you know, this Mansoor chap who just got convicted yesterday. Ugh. And I want to talk about that because it's still bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm all over the place. This woman is the Prime Minister of New Zealand. She comes out like a Kardashian to address the media about her imminent pregnancy. By the way, she's going to take the 6 weeks of maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens to moms. I've met moms. I've got friends who are moms. We've got family members who are moms. They lose their minds with the child. The child comes along, and I know this is again going to get me the sexist bullshit that I'm waiting to pick up. I'm waiting to pick it up with both hands, and I'll own this one. But parents, mostly the mom, because she's the one who has to do most of the work, they lose their minds when they have children. They don't. She's not focused on the job. Prime Minister. This is not something you can do part-time. I wouldn't want a Prime Minister part-time. I said it yesterday. Jacob Gedleyihliza Zuma was thinking about sex the whole time. Yeah. Terrible, terrible president. So I'm applying the same standard to him that I would to her. I know that guy was thinking about pussy every moment of every day. He didn't think about work. He didn't do anything for this country. For the last 9 years, we've been on autopilot. But this is a whole new situation, because she's only the second woman in the world to be pregnant while in office. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's been thrown around, the stats and around who she is and what she's doing. So, but what are you saying, like... There should be a contract in place that you can't get pregnant during your term? I mean, is it one of those things that you make above board?
Well, I think you should. I think, like, you could, if you're dedicating yourself to your nation for 4 or 5 years, you should say, well, I'm not gonna cut out a chunk of that so that I can have a family. You do that before, you do that after.
No, like, I totally agree with you, because people are going to always go, but it's a woman's right, and it's so progressive that she's a pregnant prime minister. But, yeah, cool. Like, that's fine if you work in HR or you've got a sales job or whatever, but like, there's not just the certain cases I think we should be more clinical.
I can't take off. This is a little company. It's by no means a nation state. I don't have as many responsibilities. I can't take off 6 weeks. Are you kidding me? Imagine if I disappeared for 6 weeks, and this is nothing compared to a whole state.
Yeah.
You know?
Get your point.
Please. It's never going to work.
I don't see it as big of a deal as you two see it. Perhaps I might be naive, but for example, they've already said that she's taking 6 weeks off and the deputy will take her place. And also, she's taking only those 6 weeks off because her partner is...
Because she gets into office on the 7th week or whatever, and then someone calls and says, "Ah, oh, your kid's got colic."
Her partner is a...
or whatever.
I'm saying this quite seriously. He's a professional fisherman. Like, he has a TV show as a fisherman.
You see what I mean?
And so he's...
See what I mean about
New
Zealand?
That's why I wanted to take it seriously.
Do you see what I mean about New Zealand? What a... This is what white middle class utopia looks like.
And so, because he's a fisherman, he's able to take time off.
Fisherman.
And he'll be the stay-at-home father, and he'll be in the office
with
her.
Listen to them. Let them talk it through, all right?
I'm really excited to share, as you already know, that in June we're looking forward to welcoming our first child. We still have to get used to saying that out loud, because we've been keeping it to ourselves for quite a long time. You're listening from the press statement we have put out, aside from all of the usual excitement that we both share over this news, and the fact that it was a surprise for us, that we have also put in place plans to deal with...
Share. Press statement. Press. They mix up all their vowels.
Just glides over the tongue so easily, doesn't it?
Drives me to drink, this accent. I don't know. I have a problem with this. God forgive me. I think it's wrong. I think it's dereliction of duty. Really? This child is going to get the priority because we are wired, men and women. Parents are wired to worry about their child more than their job. Definitely are. And in this case, I mean, just judging by the way that these two are dressed and their whole attitude to life, they're already not taking the job seriously. He doesn't even have a job. He's a fisherman, for God's sake. What a loser. I'm sorry. That is ridiculous. You can't be a fisherman. And he's not commercial fisherman. He's like an angling fisherman, from what I read.
On a TV show.
Oh, he hosts Jesus.
A TV on a TV show. Oh. He's not a guy with a couple of stubbies by the docks.
Obviously, I take very seriously the role of becoming a mum, as does Clark becoming a dad.
Clark. That's his name. Clack. Clack. There isn't even a sound that you can phonetically make that word. Write down the word clack. Ah. Ah. It's that sound the Hardy does make on the roof next door that you hear every morning. Ah. Ah. That's what that is.
You are really going hard this morning.
But we equally take seriously the role I've taken on as Prime Minister of New Zealand.
No, you can't. No. I don't believe you. And I don't believe Clark, who's standing next to you either. He's smiling like a mongoloid.
That means that I will be taking 6 weeks of leave after the baby's arrival in mid-June. I've already spoken to the Deputy Prime Minister and asked that he take on the duties and functions of the Office of Prime Minister while I'm away. But we'll be working together through that time.
Together. Say that again. Say that at the... Together. Jesus, it's a shit accent. Oh my God, if I sounded like that, I would never talk.
Oh, jeez.
I'd have my mouth sewn closed. Put me on an IV to keep me alive and don't ever let me talk. Together. Alright, enough.
Wow, I'm very surprised that you guys think this is going to...
No, it's not all about her. By the way,
make a big difference.
She is 37, which is, to be a leader of a country at 37, I mean, that's an achievement. And I do know that women have a much tougher time in politics than men. And I kind of respect that in some way. So I don't want to be completely biased about this. They asked if it was acceptable for a nation's prime minister to take maternity leave while in office. I don't think that anyone should tell anyone else what to do with their reproductive cycle, ever, especially not women who've had for thousands of years to have to just put up with whatever men said in terms of I want a kid now, or I'm just going to have sex with you now, and you just deal with the consequences, right?
Yeah.
But you're going to be prime minister. It's a serious. She just got into office, by the way. She says, it is totally unacceptable in 2017 to decide that women should have to answer that question in the workplace. It's a woman's decision about whether they want to have children, and it should not predetermine whether or not they're given a job or have job opportunities. Yes, but this is different. You're asking for people to vote for you. That's not a job that you can just apply for. People vote for you. In other words, they say, we're entrusting the well-being of our nation to you. And I wish this was true for all politicians, because it's the same thing no matter how you cut and slice it. They all don't give a shit, and they should.
It's such an interesting kind of argument, because in this day and age, you can't really... Well, you can, but I mean, if you argue against a woman's rights, a woman's take on something, you'll be attacked on the internet, pulled to shreds.
Yeah,
but you make a good point.
No.
You are voted into a position to serve a role.
Yeah, you
haven't just taken a job as assistant marketing manager of a retail company.
Right.
You're not a little bit different.
Yeah, you're not the assistant in HR. Okay, she says, by the way, she became New Zealand's youngest prime minister in October of last year, and on Friday she announced she'd be taking another role, that of a mother. Ardern, that's her surname, and her partner, Clark Gayford, are expecting their first child in June. I'm not the first woman to multitask. I'm not the first woman to work and have a baby, she said at a news conference on Friday on the steps of her house in a jersey. We're going to make this work, and New Zealand is going to help us raise our first child. Yeah, of course, because you believe in, the whole country must be paying you tax money so you could raise your kid. You know, this drives me to drink. It really does. Politicians already take so much money. She says, and New Zealand will help raise my child. No, honey, you're going to raise the child, and taxpayers are going to foot the bill for 6 weeks while you sit at home. Be a mum. Not on. Not if you're the partner, cool. If you're the principal, you've got to do a job. Deputy Prime Minister, can you imagine this poor dude or woman who comes into the office and, oh, now I've got a pile of stuff. The Deputy Prime Minister is the dumbest job in the world, by the way. That shouldn't even exist.
Why?
Because you don't do anything, you cut ribbons. It's like Prince William.
Well, it's there in case the Prime Minister gets pregnant, clearly.
Now we know what it's for.
But it's not like she's really in charge of an important country. What did New Zealand really do? No one's looking to invade them. They've got no real international problems. They're on the arse end of the world. All they've really got to do is make sure people don't beat their wives up on a Friday night. That's the biggest problem in New Zealand.
Yeah, and that has to do with...
There's signs at the airport.
True, and that has to do... All you have to do is shut down the pubs at 10 o'clock, and that's...
So that's their biggest problem.
Oh, yeah, it's rules there. You can't get a drink after 10. Forget it. This is the picture she posted when she announced the thing. She put up fishing hooks. So we thought 2017 was a big year. This year we'll join the many parents who wear two hats. Yeah, she's showing how she can multitask. Well, I've seen mothers, they burn the rice. I've seen this happen. Don't give me this shit. They
but
burn the rice.
Those are different types of mothers.
Please, come on.
As in, there are some women who...
I
won't even take this far. I know, for example, my mother, and we've had conversations about this. I've said this before. She said this to me, how she wasn't an attentive mother to a young child. There's some women who just can move on with their lives and just have their babies and that's it. Doesn't mean they love the child less or whatever the case is.
Okay, without being too dramatic, I think both of you are going on. It's about priorities. Your priority before your child is born is your job. As soon as your child is born, that's the number one priority.
That's not the case for everyone.
Okay. You know what?
Then they're terrible parents.
I don't think so.
I reckon the moment you have a child, that's what everyone says. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And they are right because it's the biggest thing in their life.
It is.
It's huge. I know people who drop massive logs in the bog who are proud of themselves. They've just had a child. This is their DNA. This is them.
Here's the other thing. She ran for prime minister in October.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is due in June. I'm winding the clock back.
Conceived around then.
She must have known somewhere around the election time that she was going to be pregnant in office.
They say 6 days before she was elected.
Okay, well, if she knew 6 days before she was elected and she didn't tell people, that is dishonest.
You're...
It's dishonest because she wouldn't have got the votes.
I think dishonest I'm telling is if you, you have
listen.
A fraud background, no. If you've committed murder.
If she knew that she was pregnant, yes. And she didn't tell the people who were going to vote for her in an election, that's like going into a job interview and not telling people that you have a patch over your one eye until you get there. Oh, yes.
Let me play devil's advocate. As you are sworn in as prime minister, you know, and you have to raise a hand and put another hand on the Bible or whatever the holy book they use, is it part of the entire spiel to say, and you solemnly swear that you are not pregnant?
No. See, politicians... politicians just run a popularity contest. And if you want to win a popularity contest, you have to declare all. And if you don't declare all, people will find out after the fact and they're going to be annoyed with you because they voted thinking they were voting for X and they got Y. No. It's deceitful. That's what that is. It's deceitful.
It's downright deceitful.
I'm sorry. This I'm not going to back
down. No, don't apologize for your opinion, but I am really surprised. All right.
Someone says here on the WhatsApp line, Jesus, move on. Fuck you. You come and do the show, you're so clever. When we move on. All right, you know what? Let's move on.
The sauce of the day for the door to be locked.
The door to be locked.
All right, here's something important. It's time for the news. I don't know where my buddy is. She's not in this morning. I don't know. She's probably fast asleep. Here's something interesting. We're going to do the five things you need to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scientists confirm Uranus smells like farts.
Interesting.
We've always known that Uranus smells of farts, but now there's scientific evidence to back it up. On Monday, researchers confirmed that delighted astronomers, 9-year-olds, and everyone in between will now be able to say with confidence the 7th planet from the sun has an atmosphere full of concentrated hydrogen sulfide. That's the same revolting smell of rotten eggs and humans' farts.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Isn't it interesting? So we've got an atmosphere of mostly nitrogen, and there's a bit of oxygen and some carbon dioxide and argon. And this planet, Uranus, ironically, has got an atmosphere of farts.
Sure.
Isn't that interesting? You didn't know that, did you? Now you know. Here's a great story. In a certain state in the United States, I think it's Washington State, where Seattle is, apparently animal abusers will now be registered like sex offenders.
Oh, brilliant. What a great rule.
Yeah, this is terrific. So a number of United States jurisdictions have implemented an animal offenders registry, which will publicly reveal the names of known animal abusers in the area, similarly to how sex offenders are registered.
You know why this is so good, Gareth? Because a lot of murderers, rapists, people who really just don't have any part in society, they're often animal abusers when they're children.
That's exactly right.
So when they are found abusing animals, they can be taken out of society or scared straight, whatever it is, and that could actually help with follow-on crimes down the line.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. The first sign that a child has propensities towards sociopathy and pathology with regard to humans is that they start abusing animals. They start hurting animals. If a child hurts animals, it will hurt people eventually. So it's a great litmus test for bad people. And animal rights activists all over the world are thrilled about this new decision to start an animal rights and an animal offenders registry. That's very good. Now, I don't know. We kind of breezed past this yesterday, and we were all commenting on how quickly it happened. And trust me, when things work out, when the law makes things happen faster than usual, we should be thrilled. And we're thrilled about the fact that Sandile Mansoe was sentenced to 32 years in jail for murdering Karabo Mokoena. But it all seems to have happened so fast, we haven't been able to take it in. Now, this is an evil son of a bitch. And we must
say the least.
We must not forget what this guy did. And we spoke about Oscar Pistorius, and we spoke about Henry Van Breda, and we've spoken about a lot of very dangerous people. You know, the serial killers, the famous serial killers, Moses Sithole, and, you know, those kinds of people.
Mm.
But here we've got this guy, the Sandile Mansoe. Remember what he did. He assaulted and killed her. Then he tried to dispose of the body by burning it in an open field. I mean, this is a monstrous human being. Monstrous. I understand a crime of passion. Sometimes people get all fired up and they, you know, they do something and they go, oh my God, what did I just do? But this was like he had a whole plan. And obviously in the aftermath of you've killed someone, he thought, oh, I've got to hide the body. I've got to do something. Or maybe it was desperation. But this is monstrous. Because he then lied and said, no, he didn't kill her. Then he said, no, he didn't hide the body. Then he said, no, he burnt the body, but he didn't mean to. So he kept changing his story all the way. The guy's just an outright, dishonest, dangerous son of a bitch. And I don't want us to forget about this, because we just breezed past it yesterday. It was like a news story, and then it was gone. I really don't like this guy at all, this Sunday Day Mansoor. And we've got to be very grateful to the judge who sentenced him and put him away so quickly. And that it was done fast is a lesson to everyone else. How this Henry Van Breda, who axe murdered his whole family, is still outside in society.
Yeah, that's how I couldn't work out, because with all these different suspensions of trial, that kind of stuff, he's just going home and chilling.
He's not even
in custody.
I was really trying, after our conversation yesterday, I was thinking, yeah, why did his trial go so quickly?
It's still going.
And I thought, like,
This Van Breda one.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, is it because, you know, he spurred the entire Men Are Trash movement? But I'm like, no, there was a whole freaking channel dedicated to Oscar, and still nothing happened. And I thought, well, there have been books written about Henry, and he's still, you know.
By the way, Ben, I asked around a couple of people I know who are in the law, and they said, no, it doesn't matter whether you've got lots of money and you're paying expensive legal counsel or not. This was an example of the wheels of justice turning fast. So from that point of view, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. This is just when things work out and when the law works properly, does what it's meant to do. It's meant to be like this for every murder trial. Some of them get dragged out for various reasons. All right, let's take a look at cryptocurrency. I'm only going to fit in those couple of stories this morning. Ethereum has just had the most terrific run, $789.35 and rising this morning. Bitcoin, $9,745. Will it reach 10? Just the other day, people were saying it's going to go back to 9.
Yeah.
$9,745.41, and on the way up. Now let's turn our attention to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. Are you ready for us, Ben?
Yes, Gareth.
Fantastic. Here he is.
Well, Arsenal gave Arsene Wenger the appropriate send-off last night in the Thursday Europe League. They lost. So, look, if you're waiting for a fairy tale ending to the Arsenal story, you clearly have no idea who Arsenal are as a team. They are there to disappoint you, and they did it again last night against Atletico Madrid. They lost 1-0, which means 2-1 in aggregate. They're out of the Thursday League, and they go through. So, yeah, Arsenal, he was never going to win anything.
Shame. So, I'm sad. I'm sad for him.
Not surprised, though. That does leave us into the weekend of Premier League fixtures. So, I know Man City were the first team to get 100 goals, and they won a while ago. For some people, it's not a big deal. But the European places are still a big deal. So, tonight, 4th of May, 9 o'clock, Man United go away to Brighton and Hove's Albion. Brighton, Hove and Albion at Brighton. They are actually relegation threatened.
I think you just had a stroke. Are you all right, Ben?
I'm okay.
Are you smelling popcorn?
They're relegation threatened here, so they need the win. And Man United, well, they look to kind of just cement second place. Tomorrow, we'll see Stoke Crystal Palace, Watford Newcastle, Leicester West Ham, Bournemouth Swansea. And then we get to the slightly bigger matches. West Brom will have Spurs at home there, and Everton versus Southampton. The big game of the weekend will be Chelsea versus Liverpool. That is at 5:30 on Sunday. Man City will be hammering Huddersfield at 2:30. And then Arsenal, with their sort of farewell Arsenal tour, they'll take place at the Emirates, 5:30 against Burnley. The interesting thing for Arsenal fans is now is that when Arsenal lose, can they still say Wenger out? Because he is out. So, I mean, it's just going through the motions. That's kind of cuck when you're supporting a team which is literally just going through the motions. But just a quick look at the log. So Arsenal are in 6th. They're going to play Thursday League for quite some time. Chelsea are in 5th, and they're all of 5 points behind Spurs. So there's a big concern there for Chelsea, because obviously staying in the Champions League was the one thing they could do because the league was lost a long time ago. Spurs are in fourth. That's really good for them on 66. Then, 71. Then Liverpool 72, Man United 77. So Liverpool are into the finals of the Champions League, and that is obviously their major focus, but just staying in that top four, which I'm pretty sure they'll do, is a secondary one from there. On to Arsa. That's at Lake South Africa.
Oh, Arsa.
So Arsa always made a bit of an arse out of themselves through just being just terrible with money. They've had dodgy people working for them, but they finally seem to be stumbling upon some good PR at the moment, because we all know the IAAF are being a whole bunch of dicks to Casa Semenya and women with higher testosterone levels. So Arsa are jumping all over this, and they want to fight it. They've been seeking legal counsel around it, and they believe that women with higher natural amounts of testosterone should just be left alone, and that's just who they are. So they are taking this and they're running with it, quite literally.
All right.
Rio Ferdinand has been denied a boxing license. Rio Ferdinand is, of course, the ex-footballer, ex-Man United player, and English star. So Rio's 39, and, well, boxing's not just... Look, when you reach a certain stage in life, let's call it a midlife crisis, let's call it Rio's age, you do things like Iron Man, or, I don't know, you do the Epic or something. So he wants to do boxing because obviously sports stars, when they get into the real world, they realize that people don't actually care about them unless they're kicking a ball. So he wanted to get back in the limelight, and boxing was going to be his big tough thing. But then the boxing council were like, yeah, look, it's not anyone's interest that you become a professional boxer, so no. His trainer was like, well, I'm not overly surprised because he's a hard ass about it. Mm-hmm. But he did say, if they only saw Rio in the gym, he's so good. And they were like, yeah, well, anyone can look good in the gym. He's 39. He's never fought before. We're not going to do this. Because boxing is not for kids. It's not a piece of fun thing you just throw around. We've seen people try to get into the ring, and they have these terrible fights against these overweight bums, all in the name of professional sport. It's just bollocks. So they've taken a hard line about another sports person trying to convert, and they just said, thanks, but no thanks, mate. Just don't box. We don't need it. The sport doesn't need it. Rory McIlroy has been saying controversial things again. Now, I like Rory, mostly because he's just an incredible golfer, and it's a joy to watch him just hit a ball. But he also has these absolute brain farts from time to time, which is amazing. Remember, during the Olympics, he said, look, it's not my job to grow the game. It's like, it's not my job to get kids into the sport. So he was all against playing the Olympics, and then him and a whole bunch of other guys. And then, obviously, the Olympics was a massive success, and he was like, yeah, well, maybe I'll play next time. But this time around, he said that he doesn't care about the US Open, he doesn't care about the Upper Championship, he only cares about the Masters. It is the one major he has not won yet. Of course, everybody wants to win the Grand Slam, just like Mr. Gary Player did, who was the first non-American to ever do it. So, yeah, if you have forgotten already.
Well, how can I forget such an important event?
Thank you. Rory just said, look, it's the biggest problem in the world. It's got the most hype, it's got the most eyeballs, it's the only one I care about, it's the only one I want to win. Which is going to be quite tough, seeing as he's, of course, won the Open Championship, he's won the US Open, so going back to these tournaments, they're not exactly going to, you know, fall all over him going forward. But honesty is a good thing, and yes, it just means, though, he's putting so much extra pressure on himself now to win this one tournament, because if he's going to prime his entire year around playing here, I reckon he's going to jinx himself. He's going to become like the Proteas in the World Cup. So, mark my words, I don't think Rory will actually win a Masters now that he's put so much pressure on his shoulders. And yes, I shall stand by this, and we can fight about it every April of every year going forward. Yesterday I told you about FIFA wanting to have new tournaments and expand this and track. Anyway, the top year leagues in Europe have basically said, cuck idea. We don't want any part of this.
So they agree with us.
Completely agree with us, Gareth. So as I said yesterday, Gianni Infantino is in election year at the moment. So he's wanting all the good press he can get. But the European leagues all turned around and said, no. We don't want this stupid Super 8 World Cup tournament. We don't want an expanded Club World Cup thingy. Everything is fine as it is, thank you. Stop looking for attention.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. And it's always nice when you see sanity prevail a little bit in sport, because a lot of the time, it's just a whole bunch of bollocks. Sundowns are playing in the CAF Champions League this weekend, but to get into it, before we get into SEA, we've got to talk rugby. And is the Vodacom Super Rugby. That's what is known to all people who talk about it on Real Sport TV. Today, we'll see the Chiefs taking on the Hagawadeth at 9:35. The Rebels will take on the Crusaders later at 11:45. So if you have no job or you don't care about your job and you're at home this morning, you can watch two games of rugby.
Maybe the Prime Minister of New Zealand or a boyfriend.
Yeah, her and Clark are about to watch the Chiefs versus the Hagawadeth.
There we go.
The Jagger here? That's
Clark,
what they're going to say.
Clark, what are you doing this morning?
Ah, nothing, honey. What are you going to do? Let's watch the rugby.
Tomorrow sees the Lions trying to bounce back against the Hurricanes. Slim chance because the Hurricanes are bloody good. But the Lions, well, they were so pissed poor last week against the Reds. It's just so distressing to see that because this is SA's only chance again in this whole tournament. 9:35, you can catch that match tomorrow. All South African time, of course. And the Waratahs versus the Blues, 11:45. The Stormers versus the Bulls. That is the big one, the local derby. And the great thing about that is that people are kind of saying, well, you know, if you want to be a Bok this year, you've got to do well in games like this. The North-South derby in a Sir Khaleesi's 100th match. And with the fact that there seems to be no captains who can still stand on their own 2 feet at the moment, Sir Khaleesi could be priming himself for that leadership role. And games like this mean a hell of a lot. And then finally, the Sharks will take on the Highlanders at 5:15 at the Johnson Kings Park Stadium. Every year, different stadium, different sponsor. I always feel people who actually work in mainstream media and they've got to memorize all this crap.
Talk about the Johnson Kings Park Stadium.
Yeah, so they're going to. So the Chelsea Sharks will take on the Johnson Kings Park Screwdriver Stadium. So much to keep up on. So glad I have to do that. That's pretty much it for your sport this weekend. There's obviously the Wells Fargo Golf Tournament happening on the USPGA Tour.
Right.
There's a guy leading there by 2 shots who needs just over $300,000 in the next 3 events to secure his card in the PGA Tour. And he says if he's not doing it, he's just quitting the game. So he's 2 shots clear. And then the Golf Sixes, which is basically T20 of golf. It's the European Tour going full mental about stuff. 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is a sort of group stages, and then Sunday is the knockout phase. It is ridiculously entertaining. It really is. Golf is coming out to like boxer intros. There's all kinds of like shot clocks. It's interesting. It's very, very interesting. It's 2-man teams. That's the Golf Sixes on the European Tour. And I shall have more sport for you on Monday.
All right, let's get to Sia, see what's going on in Said by Sia. This is his opportunity to give you a chance to feel better about the day. And a lot of people need some motivation at the start of their day. That's what Sia's here for, and he's got some for you right now.
This morning, I want to highlight the teachers in Arizona for really not only just walking the walk, but not only talking the talk, but also walking the walk. So the teachers in Arizona are currently striking for their salaries, but they really are just saying, look, it's not that we don't love our jobs. We really actually care about our kids, but we just deserve more money. And to prove how much they actually care for the kids, so in the midst of all their striking, and Arizona in itself provides less funding for schools than it did in 2008, and it's ranked 49th in the country overall in terms of teacher salary in the 50 US states. And this has been happening for weeks. They've been taking to the streets. They've been heading to the state capital with their striking. But they thought, we do not want our strike to hinder our kids. So this is what I feel is absolutely remarkable. All of the teachers who are involved in the strike have realized that they teach some students who are in dire situations, including the 850,000 students in the Arizona state who rely on their school to get some meals. So this is the breakfast and lunch. I didn't even know that the meal situation was like this in the states. But 850,000 students require and rely on free meals provided by their schools, and the teachers have now decided that even though we're in the middle of our strikes, we don't want our kids to go hungry. So they've banded together, some even going as far as preparing and buying $1,000 worth of meals for students to take home.
But they don't have any money. Talk about putting the cart before the horse. These
Look
people need a lesson
exactly,
in economics.
Exactly.
I mean, but it's very inspirational, but they're morons. These are the dumbest teachers in the world. I wouldn't want to be taught by these idiots.
Look at their priorities overall is what I'm saying. They've even asked their community to get involved. Members of their community have also pitched in terms of food and money donations to make sure that the kids don't go hungry. And then here's the kicker. More than that, they realize, oh, actually, we're out of class and who's actually going to...
No, our kids are getting dumber by the day because we're striking.
Yeah, so what's happening with that? The community has now banded together to now provide some sort of activities.
Don't worry, all these dumb kids who are not going to go to class now can become teachers.
Can we remain positive with the story, please? Can we put a smile on your face? Is it too much to ask?
No,
thank you. That's a half smile. I'll take that.
Love teachers. And I think that it's a calling. And, you know, I've often said that it must be the most satisfying thing to be able to to help curious children to learn about the world. And teaching is a it's a calling, not a profession.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe teachers should be paid better, and I've said that here in South Africa, I'll say it all over the world. But the way they're going about this, and then the meals, and it's like no one's in charge here. No one's thought this through. It's just happening very haphazardly.
What I admire about what they're doing is really the fact that their priorities are in place, because if you say you really love the kids and your first priority is making sure that the kids are all right.
Yeah.
And
well, yes,
where
are
these
parents
surviving
of these kids?
That's a
good
question.
I mean, why are the teachers worrying about feeding the kids? Why are the teachers worrying about teaching the kids, and why are the teachers being paid shit? Where are all these parents?
That's a good question.
Who had these children?
Kids, these teachers are still saying, you know what, we are going out there, we are fighting, we are not going to let this cause of getting a raise stop, but in the meantime, we do not want these kids to feel the effects this by banding together. So I think that's awesome.
They're good people, but they're dumb.
Let's rephrase dumb.
No, they're stupid. They first of all, they're protesting about not getting more money, and then what little money they have, they're spending and giving to kids so that they can get meals. Like, you know, if your cup is empty, you can't be filling other people's cup. I'm sorry.
I hear what you're saying.
Not a priority to you.
I think it's sweet, though.
It's very sweet.
Yes.
No, it's inspirational, but now you understand why Arizona's so stupid. You never hear about brilliant people coming from Arizona, do you?
Who's...
Can't think of one.
Google later.
John McCain.
That is your set. No, I see you for this morning.
Thank you.
They're sweet, but they're dumb,
they're sweet, but they're dumb. I mean, you can be a lovely person, but very stupid. That's what's going on there.
They're using their heart first, not their brain.
Right. Which is exactly what which every ancestor of ours that tried is dead and didn't produce offspring. It's called Darwinism. All right, Sia. Sia pronounces some words, says somebody on the WhatsApp line, like a New Zealander would. Google the New Zealand pronunciation of his. Must be a four-ways thing.
H-I-S?
No, say the word.
His.
No, it's a little bit New Zealander.
How do you pronounce it?
Not like that, Clark.
His.
We're going to call you Clark. All right. Hey, guys. So Uranus smells like farts. When we get on the aeroplane in India, that's what it smells like. The place is hotter than Satan's toenails, and it stinks of shit and piss and other nasty stuff. And someone else talking about Uranus. This is clearly the story of the morning. Uranus doesn't smell like farts. Anus has this weird, weird smell like sweat mixed with who knows what. Farts could be pleasant at times. It lifts your spirits and breaks tension in the room. Guillermo. Well, Guillermo, I don't know about that. Got to be honest with you. If I'm in a closed space and someone farts, it's not pleasant for me. It doesn't make me happy.
Ugh.
Dude, says someone else, are you saying that you have an issue with her earning maternity benefits as well as having the kid? That's what I'm saying when I say taxpayers must foot the bill while she's off. What bullshit? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't have the capacity to get 6 weeks leave because I don't have a uterus. And I'm certainly not withholding tax as a result of that. So if you're paying more tax than I am, you have a case. Otherwise, shut up. Why must I pay for your wife to have 6 weeks off? Because you and she want to have a child, another goddamn child. All we need in the world, more people.
Well, but then you're paying for your female employees here.
I know.
To take 6 weeks off.
And because they're important to me, I will. But if some stranger out there decides to have a kid, why the fuck must I pay?
But she's not a stranger, she's a prime minister.
You know what? Here's what I think. People who don't have children should get a tax benefit.
It's okay. Take that.
That sounds fair.
No, really. People who don't have kids should be paid money back on their taxes because they've decided not to fill the world with their goddamned offspring. How about that? You put that in your pipe and smoke it. So, yes, you want to fight with me this morning? Good. Bring it on. Someone else saying. Is Gareth on his period? We couldn't get the door open. Someone says, clack. That's hilarious.
But it does. It sounds like when the Hardy Doll speaks.
Yeah. All right.
Should I should open the window?
Gareth, you need to get laid, Nick. Yeah, probably. You're right. It has been a while.
Oh, too much information.
And then someone sent this lovely message, and God rewards those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6.
Is anyone noticing a pattern here?
Yeah, someone's sending us religious messages in the morning.
Every single morning.
Beautiful illustrations.
Well, When we come back just now, I've got a story about this pastor who is exercising demons. He's, this is so great. You're going to love this. Just hang around. It's coming up next. Happy Friday, everybody.
This is CliffCentral.com.